Our reading will be taken from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting at verse number 13. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version. And it reads, "But we must always give thanks to God for you, brothers and sisters, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruit for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and through belief in the truth. For this purpose, he called you through our proclamation of the good news, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by word of mouth or by our letter. Now, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and through grace gave us eternal comfort and good hope, comfort your hearts and strengthen them in every good work and word." Amen. Amen. Look at your neighbor. Don't touch him. Look at your neighbor. Put both your hands on yourself as you look at your neighbor. Put both your hands on yourself. You can put your Bibles down. It's all good. Or put your devices down. Put your hands on yourself. Look at your neighbor and say, "Neighbor,
neighbor,
God's choice.
God's choice.
Neighbor,
neighbor,
God's choice."
God's choice.
Amen. You may be seated. We have entitled our message this morning, "God's Choice." Did y'all get that? Now we have to understand something about choices. I want you to know, when you came to church this morning, to all of our adults, it was your, when you got up this morning, if you ate some breakfast, whatever you ate was your, and whether or not you made it to Sunday school this morning or not, that was your, whether you are sitting here right now looking at your watch and saying it's time to go home, that is still your, or somebody working with me. We have to understand that life is all about choices. And since life is about choices, I want you to understand that in our lives, y'all, we ain't always make the best. You see, because when we first started out, we were so caught up in the worldly stuff, because all of us, key word, you heard what I said, all of us were born into a world of sin. So since we were born into a world of sin, I want you to know the choices that we made started off from the negative. And if we made our choices starting with negative, every choice we make associated with that would end up being, because that's called sin. That's what we were born into. But I want you to understand something, that as we look at where we were born into, and the choices that we made to continue to build upon the negativity, it was no way we could turn from all that negativity, because it was like a brick building with cinder blocks with at least 6 to 9 feet footers in the bottom of it, which was going to make it hard to pull up. And that's why Jesus had to come, was because of the fact that the entire world was built off of a choice of negativity. And since the choice started negative, everything that came from that was going to be negative. Think about how sometimes we used to talk. No matter how good something was, we found something wrong in it. "Oh, child, that's a nice dress you got on. But you know she shouldn't have worn it, because that ain't her size. Oh, bro, that's a nice fitting suit. fit better if you lose some weight. But we have to understand that since the choices that we started off with were negative, all they could do was build upon the negativity. And that's why Jesus came to this world in order to shatter the negative and bring upon the positive. But in order for him to do that, he had to give his life for us to make it over. Don't you know that Jesus is our bridge over the troubled water? Don't you know that prior to Jesus, we was on the other side of the bank, looking to the other side, knowing that there was no way for us to get over there, so why should I make any changes? But I am so thankful that Jesus came. And since Jesus came, the Lord made the choice to save the entire world. One person. You get that? And don't you know when they killed him, they thought they had him? They put him in the ground Friday, and we know early on Sunday morning he got up with all power in his hand. We know that, right? And don't you know that's when his real work began? Because while he was here on earth, he had the same limitations that we have. But the only difference that when Jesus was here, there was no Facebook, there was no Twitter, there was no Instagram, there was no Snapchat, there was no emails, there was no snail mail, there was no telephone. But I want you to understand that when he rose up early on that Sunday morning, don't you know that he had the best network that there ever was designed? I want you to know that the internet ain't got nothing on Jesus. Because I want you to know the internet got to wait for folk to come on. But when Jesus is here, I want you to know that spiritual internet touches everywhere and everything all at the same time. And it never shuts down. Somebody going to work with me. But look at this. I need for us to see this now because I need you to see where we're going and how we're getting there. You see, because the Lord called a man named Saul. We know his story. If you don't, go and look at Acts chapter number 9 and see his transformation. And then you can go and read the letters that he wrote to find out more about this man. But the Lord changed him, turned his life around. And when the Lord turned him around, he made him a difference maker because he made a difference in him. And since he made a difference in him, he told him he was going to use him to go and take the gospel to the Gentiles. And here we see is one of the Gentiles that he went to in Thessalonica, in the city of Thessalonica. The Lord used Saul, who now is going by his Greek name of Paul, in order to proclaim the gospel. And he had some folk going there with him. And as he was in Thessalonica, he began to preach and to teach and to empower the people of God to be the people so that they truly would become the people of God, which lets me know that there were some who looked at this man Saul and wondered, how in the world would God use a man who was trying to flip the church over and use him now to build the church up? You know what I got to say about that? God's choice. You see, I want you to understand that as the Lord was using him and now he is preaching to the Gentiles and now they are coming forward, there are others who are looking and saying, why are you taking the gospel to them pagan worshipers, them idol worshipers? And I can't believe that they are receiving the word of God. And you know what we should say? That's what? God's choice. You see, I want you to understand that when the Lord sent Paul there to preach and to teach, he was letting these folk know that he was breaking down the foundation of the negativity that was in their lives to bring upon change in them, to let them know that there is a better way and that you can be better. You can hold your head up. Why? Because it's God's choice. And that's why we are here in this scripture right now is because Paul is writing this letter to the church in Thessalonica to let them know and to understand. My brothers and my sisters, we give thanks to God for you. You see, now I got a question to ask. How often do we give thanks to the Lord for those he's put in our lives to help us to continue to grow and to know? How often do we wake up in the morning and just say, Lord, I thank you? How often do you wake up or pray in your prayers, Lord, I thank you for where I worship. I thank you for how you're blessing me there. I thank you for the changes that you're making there. Oh, you know, my brothers and my sisters, sometimes we don't have because we don't say thank you. Because there are some folks who said, I ain't going to give you nothing because I know if I give you something, you ain't going to say. Oh, come on now. Somebody going to work with me. See, we got to understand and realize today, my brothers and my sisters, that what Paul is letting them know, and I got to read verse 13 for you one more time, but we must always give thanks to God for you, brothers and sisters, beloved by the Lord. What? They are beloved by the Lord. Because God chose you. Did you see this? God chose you as the first fruit. But depending on the translation that you have, it might say that God chose you from the beginning. You know, it all depends on your translation, right? For salvation, through sanctification, by the Spirit, and through belief in the truth. You see, I want you to understand, God chose us because he wanted to. Now, why he wanted to, you got to talk to God about that. You know, you might have some problems with who God chose, but guess what? Just get over it. You hear what I'm saying? Somebody might have a problem that God chose you. So they also need to what? So what I want you to understand, my brothers and my sisters, since we are going to hold our heads up, we got to understand I am where I am because it is what? God's choice. I'm doing what I'm doing because it's what? God's choice. I'm able to walk and talk and do all that I'm able to do to give God the glory because it is what? So what we got to understand that God saved us. And since God has saved us, I want you to understand that God has sanctified us by his Spirit. Now, what does that mean? That means that you and I have been set apart. We've been set apart. They were set apart back then to let them understand that through the Holy Spirit guiding and directing and empowering us and anointing us, we understand that we ain't what we used to be. We are something new. We have been changed. You know how the song goes, I know I've been changed. You see, I don't know about you, but I know I've been changed because I know what I used to be like. But every now and then I do have a hiccup and I don't appear to be as holy as some folks think I ought to be. But I understand that I am not what I used to be. I have been set apart. I've been filled with God's Holy Spirit. And since I'm filled with God's Holy Spirit, I made it a point in my life to embrace the truth because the truth is what set me free. The truth is what broke the chains. The truth is what broke the foundation of negativity. And the Lord began to build a new foundation in our lives. Why? Because of the fact that God chose us. So when some folks say, I can't believe that the Lord is doing this and doing that and so on and so forth. All you got to look at them and say, God's choice. You see what I mean? And then if they don't want to keep saying something to you, you say, you know what? Well, you just need to what? Get over it. Because I don't care what you say, what you do. I ain't going back to what I was because I know what God is doing with me right now. I know I've come too far to turn back now. I've been appointed. I've been anointed. I have come a mighty long way. I wouldn't be here right now if it had not been for the Lord. Do I got a witness in God's house? When the people of God realize how good God has been to us and what he's done for us, I don't care what you say to me or about me. I just say it's God's choice. See, since we understand what's happening in verse 13, he says to us in verse 14, for this purpose, he called you through our proclamation of the good news so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you and I understand, my brothers and sisters? Do you understand that the reason why we are God's choice is because God pulled us through his word. Through his word, not just anywhere, but through his word, and letting us understand what state we were in, letting us understand it was a state we couldn't get out of by ourselves, letting us understand that his son had to come and redeem us, letting us understand that his son was taking our sins to the cross, letting us understand that our sins were killed on the cross with Jesus, letting us understand that when they put him in the tomb, he was dead. I understand that, but he didn't stay dead. And since he got up, it lets us all know that that's what we have. It's called resurrection power. Yeah. Resurrection power to step from negative to positive. And don't you know, that's why, do you realize, think about it. You know how sometimes when you hear the word of God, Sister Davis, that when you hear the word of God, it just does something to you on the inside. When you hear about how the word says something to you that you might have been feeling down, but then you understand that the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? When I want to walk around and wonder what to do next, I just lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help, because my help comes from the Lord. When it seems like folk are attacking me from the left, from the right, from the top, from the bottom, from the forward, from backwards, it don't matter, because I say no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Yeah. You see, there's something about the word of God that since we have now embraced the truth, the word continues to inspire his people to let us know that trouble don't last always, that the Lord will be with us through thick and through thin. He'll stick closer to us than any brother. He will always be there for us. See, it's through the proclamation of the word that allows us to see it was God's choice. And since it was God's choice, it is a purpose for us to embrace his son. And when we embrace his son, that means that we are going to do like his son did. Right. Don't y'all know Jesus ain't never sit still? Folk today might categorize Jesus back in the day, but he had ADD. Brother was, however the letters are, y'all know what the letters I'm trying to talk about. ADH, whatever it is, y'all know what I mean. I just say it this way, he was probably hyperactive because he understood he had a lot of work to do in a short period of time. And wherever he went, I want you to know, nobody was going to hold him back. And I can see his disciples, oh, Lord Jesus, we're going to stay here? No, we got to keep moving. Oh, Lord, here we go again. Oh, Lord, here we go again. He was always on the move. So if he's always on the move and always doing something, then why do we think it's okay for us to come to church, sit down on Sunday, and put a mint in our mouth, suck on it, and be in service for an hour and a half, and go home and ain't got to do nothing else until we come back next Sunday and get mad when we reach in our pocket, we ain't got another mint? Touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, I still love you. My breath don't stink. Are you following me, y'all? We got to understand there's got to be more to what we do than just being here on Sunday morning. We got to understand that it's got to be more than a Sunday morning worship. We have to recognize that the Lord ain't bring us up out of nothing and made something out of us just so that we can shout on Sunday morning. We got to understand that our service of God has got to be bigger than a Sunday morning service. It doesn't make light of the service because we need the service, because that's what we congregate as a body of believers to worship and praise him, and we get fueled in this place. But during the week and all the other days, we ought to be working for the Lord. I recognize some folk have still got a J-O-B. I understand that you got to go in. Some folk punch clocks, other folks don't. But no matter how you look at it, metaphorically, we punching the clock. We got to be in there. We got to do our jobs. And if we ain't doing our jobs, we're going to get fired. I ain't telling you not to do your job. But all I'm saying is that you ought to be an example. And because there's somebody at your job who needs some help. There's somebody on your job every now and then they looking at you and trying to understand what you all about. And they say, you know what? They going through something, but they ain't never prayed for me. They ain't asked me, do I know Jesus? They never talked to me. What's wrong with you just when you're seeing somebody going through something? And just say, you know what, I'm praying for you. You ain't got to say no more. You're not violating anything by saying you're praying for him. Because you ain't say that what you are. You just say, I'm praying for you. Are you following me? So, and the thing is, but that's just a portion of our lives. Another portion is we do other stuff. We go shopping. We go out to eat. We do this. There you go. And we do that. So since we're doing all that, when are we ever taking some time out to let somebody know about Jesus? When are we ever letting folk know that the Lord is here for them? When are we ever letting somebody know that I understand you're going through troubles right now, but troubles don't last always? When was the last time we said to somebody, you know what? I know somebody who will stick closer to you than any brother. I know somebody that you can talk to, and you ain't got to ever worry about them running your business in the street. I know somebody who will look past all your faults and identify your need. I know somebody who can take you right from where you are and make something new out of you. I know somebody who understands what you are going through because he done been there and did that. I know somebody who is able to elevate you. I know somebody who can make you whole. I know somebody who will wipe your tears. I know somebody who can rock you to sleep. I know somebody who protects you. I know somebody who woke you up this morning. I know somebody who loves you more than you'll ever love yourself. I know somebody who is your advocate. I know somebody who's a mighty counselor. I know somebody who loves you. I know somebody who'll make a way for you. I know somebody who can give you life. I know somebody who will always be there for you. And his name is
Jesus.
And when we start doing that, we are doing that because we are God's. Since I'm God's choice, what am I doing with God choosing me? See, this is what Paul is saying in him. What are you doing now that you are God's choice? Since you are God's choice, what you doing with God choosing you? You see, because you're trying to say God made a mistake. I'm here to tell you, no, he didn't. God didn't make a mistake by choosing you. Some of us might think that God, you know, you might, no, he ain't making no mistake. God knows just what he's doing. And I want you to understand now, whether I don't know the answer to the whole thing, but the one thing I do know is that God, you are God's choice because God is going to make you to be a difference maker. Because he's making a difference in your life. And since he's calling you to be a difference maker, my brothers and my sisters, it's time for us to answer the call. It's time for us to put our hands to the plow. It's time for us to get involved. It's time for us to stop looking at what's wrong and look at what's right. It's time for us to praise God anyhow. It's time for us to let our light shine. It's time for us to let a dying world know. You don't have to die and go to hell, but you can be lifted up and go to heaven. But we want you to understand, you ain't got to wait till then to watch him change your life. He'll change your life right where you are. You see, David, our God is just good like that. You see? But I want you to understand something. When you start moving forward because you are God's choice, it's going to get a little rough. You're going to deal with some challenges. Brother Paul, sometimes you're going to want to throw the towel in. But this is what Paul said to them. And he's saying to us in verse number 15. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by word or mouth or by our letters. I got to deal with that tradition first. Now, they're not talking about the traditions we got today. Well, you know, since I am a deacon, I got to wear black and white on Fourth Sunday. That's a tradition, but that ain't the kind of tradition they're talking about. Since I'm a usher,
Since I'm an usher, I got to wear a certain outfit. He ain't talking about that tradition. Since I sing in the choir, you can't fan while you singing. He ain't talking about that tradition. You fanning. He's not talking about those traditions. He's talking about the traditions that are truly the word of God. So since he's talking about those traditions, now that we got that out the way, can we go look at this thing for real, for real? He says, stand firm and hold fast. You see, when you are God's choice, I want you to know the enemy has his sights on you. And he's waiting behind the bush, waiting for you to pass. And once you pass, he's going to try to pounce on you from the back. But when he comes up out and try to pounce on you, he gets knocked back down. You know why? Because God has built a hedge around you. The Lord's put a hedge around you. A hedge of his protection. And don't you know that when you are a child of God and you put on the whole armor of God, the whole armor is going on the front of you, which lets us know that whatever comes behind us ain't got a shot. You know why? Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, God's got your back. And since God's got your back, you ain't gonna ever look back and wonder, because the Lord has got your back. All you gotta continue to do is walk by faith and not by sight. And the Lord's gonna make a way. You see, all this happens because you and I are God's. So you got to stand firm. So, but Brother Freeman, sometimes it gets a little hard when we stand firm. Brother Joe, sometimes you got to take them glasses off and just, because it gets tough. But you got to keep reminding yourself, I am God's choice. I didn't choose to do this. Did you? It was God's choice. But let's look at this so that we can get ready to move on. Look at verse 16. He says, now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who what? Through what? Gave us what? And what? You see what we got waiting on us? You see why we can continue to stand firm? You see why we can continue to hold fast? It's because we got the love of the Father, we got the love of the Son, and we got the Holy Spirit inside of us. I want you to understand that that is called the dynamic duo that nobody has ever trumped and nobody has ever knocked down, has nobody has ever defeated or depleted. I want you to understand we serve a God who is undisputed. He is the one and the only. And when you have the Father and you got the Son and you are filled with the Holy Spirit, I want you to understand you and I got we can make it. We can go forward. We got good hope. We have eternal comfort. And since we have all this, we are excited. Why? Because God showed us grace. And since we got grace, we can continue to move forward. And I want you to know that this is what comforts our hearts. This is what strengthens us as his people, because God has been mighty good to us. Do I got a witness in God's house? Has God been good to us? Is he good to us? Is he good for us? Has he brought us a mighty long way? Oh, I tell you, it's God's choice, my brothers and sisters. I thank him, I praise him, and I magnify his holy name. Somebody ought to say thank you. This is God's. Look at three people and say, God's choice. You hear that? That's important. You might have issues with me, but I'm God's choice. You might suck your teeth every time you see me, but I'm still. You might roll your eyes, but I'm still. You might whisper when I walk by, but I am. They might chuckle when I walk by, but I am. They might try to knock me down, but I am. So I don't care what you try to do to me. I am. You see today, my brothers and sisters, we needed to know that. And we're going to move forward in that. And I kind of jumped ahead when I had mentioned that. I just got excited there. But in verse 17, it says, comfort your hearts and strengthen them in every good work and word. And we understand that the work that we do, y'all, is work that ought to be productive. I preached about that last week in the sermon, and I ain't going to go back and reiterate it, but I will just add this thing to it. As a child of God, all of us ought to be productive. What are you doing to be productive for the kingdom of God? If you think that you're working for the pastor, then you need to go back and regroup. You are working for the Lord. Because guess who I'm working for? Jesus. And since I'm working for the Lord, I want us all to be working on the same thing, on the same agenda, singing off the same sheet of music, understanding that it ain't nobody but the Lord who has brought all of us a mighty long way. And we know that in his word, he has showed us what he has done and what he will do for us when we put our trust in him. So I'm just encouraging the people of God, in order to maintain your productive, you got to continue to be in the word of God. Because when you know the word of God, you come to realize that the Lord loves me and he will not leave me nor forsake me. He will get you through danger seen and unseen, because the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I tell you, my brothers and my sisters, I might weep for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I understand that things get a little bitter in this world, but when I taste and see how good the Lord is, I come to realize that he is sweeter than a honeycomb. I tell you, my brothers and my sisters, when I put my trust in the Lord, I understand that he is the King of glory. And since he is the King of glory, I'm going to praise his holy name. And the Bible in Psalm 150 ends by saying, let everything that has breath to what? You see, my brothers and my sisters, I got to praise him because I am God's choice. I am where I am because I am God's choice. Do you see it for yourself? You are God's choice. You got something to praise God for. We've come a mighty long way. And we still got a ways to go. But as we move forward, we're going to do like our church say, and we're going to what? Because we are. We're going to what? Because we are. We're going to what? Because we are. You see? My brothers and sisters, we get ready to shut it down, but you can have a seat for just a second. I got to stand because it'd be harder for you to see me if I'm sitting. I want us to know who you are. And don't ever let nobody steal from you what they didn't give to you. Did you hear that? Don't you dare let somebody steal from you. Don't you let me take what they didn't. There are people in God's house who you have allowed
to steal from you what they didn't give to you.
Preach, Pastor.
You see, because the thief cometh not but to steal. Stop right there. But you understand what I'm saying? Steal, kill, and destroy. I understand that, but you see what he wants to do? Somebody can only steal what they don't have and doesn't belong to them. But what God has given us is in us, in a place protected by him. And since he has protected it, why are you going to let somebody touch where they don't belong? And they haven't gotten there. It's you let them there. You know how you let them there? I can't believe. You know, all right, I'll give you a scenario. Quick scenario, and then we're going to shut it down. All right. Has anybody ever come to church excited about praising God? Have you ever came to church excited? Have you ever came to church just ready and revved up to get in there and praise God? Might not even been your church, but you just had to praise God because this is where you found yourself. But as you walk through the door, somebody look at you like, what you here for? You know, the first one, you kind of shook it off. But then the second person say, this my seat. The second one, yeah, okay. But then they sang that song and you got excited and you stood up and they said, why don't you just sit down? Now all of a sudden, you sitting there mad, arms folded. No, you in church and you ought not to be cussing even in your mind. Come on, now work with me. You just let them steal. You let them steal what they did not. Are you working with me now? But I want you to know, if you only knew what the Lord had in store for you, you would be. You would be clapping your hands. You would be for joy.